It's Tuesday, August 29th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. An Eritrean Christian mother of three appears to have been tortured to death for her faith in a prison in Eritrea, Africa. Tadaku Debuse was arrested in May, and her body was returned to her family for burial in August. The family noted unusual scars on her body. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Another seven pastors or church leaders in Sudan, Africa, have been arrested for their refusal to have their church leadership submit to a government committee. Pastor Kua Shamal told the Morning Star News that, quote, "it is not the work of the government ministry to appoint committees for the church," unquote. Amen. May God strengthen these men with steadfast faith against the forces of evil. The Lord unleashed his powerful natural forces on East Texas over the weekend with his Hurricane Harvey. Houston took 24 inches of rain, displacing 30,000 people. Damage estimates right now run from $30 to $100 billion, making Hurricane Harvey the worst storm to hit America since Hurricane Sandy 5 years ago. And now Louisiana is bracing for round two, as forecasters predict the storm will hit the Bayou State later this week. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster signed an order on August 24th to rescind all state taxpayer dollars from any abortion businesses in their state. The Worldview spoke to House Representative Josiah Magnuson, an outspoken Christian conservative in South Carolina, about the governor's decision.
I think it's so important because these are some of our most defenseless citizens. We have children that are being killed every day in South Carolina, and the state owes it to these people to protect them.
Magnuson said they have been fighting hard, but they have not had success until recently.
I really just have to praise the Lord for what's been going on. I think we're seeing a moving of God in people's hearts. People are getting courage in a way that hasn't been before. People are taking a stand. One thing that's happened just recently was Lieutenant Governor Kevin Bryant, I think, deserves a lot of credit for taking a stand and saying that he would not approve a state budget. He would not recognize it as valid unless it removed any funding for abortion.
On Friday, the Trump administration issued directives to halt the accommodation of men who want to dress and look like women in the military. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed suit in a Maryland federal court on behalf of five service members protesting the ban. Deuteronomy 22:5 reminds us that a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Another Christian baker is in trouble in California for her refusal to celebrate homosexual weddings. Homosexuals have led an online attack on the Tastries Bakery that forced the owners to take their website down. For the last 5 years, the Christian bakery has survived by referring homosexual wedding customers to a competitor, according to a report from the Christian Post. There is little difference between the world and the Christian church in Australia. As that nation prepares for a national referendum on homosexual marriage, a Newgate research poll found that 59% of Anglicans, 67% of Catholics, and 66% of Australians support the worldview of Sodom. Despite recent urgings from the Catholic Archbishop Dennis Hart to oppose the homosexual marriage measure, the rank-and-file Catholics are overwhelmingly in favor of this particular sin. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Yesterday, North Korea fired another missile, this time over Japan. The missile flew about 1,700 miles before breaking up into three pieces near the island of Hokkaido. Virtually 100% of all babies with Down syndrome are targeted for death in the womb in the country of Iceland. Stay tuned for a special report from Emily Swanson immediately following today's newscast, featuring an Icelandic pastor who has two special needs children of his own. CNN Sports did an extensive piece on Derek Carr, quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. He's a devout Christian, he does not swear, and he's planning several missions trips. He's hoping to become a pastor when he's done with his $125 million pro football contract. He's the highest paid player in NFL history, but remarkably enough, what he really wants to do is be a pastor. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, August 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. And now, our special report by Emily Swanson. Last week, many in the body of Christ were saddened when it was revealed that Iceland kills nearly 100% of its babies with Down syndrome because of prenatal screenings. What a change from 1,001 years ago, in 1016 AD, when Iceland was the first nation to ban infanticide by democratic vote. Now, the country has reverted to the pagan practice in their hospitals, no less. The World View interviewed Pastor Gunnar Gunnarsson of Lofstefen Church in Reykjavik, Iceland, about this tragedy. Pastor Gunnarsson, who was also a husband and father of two children with special needs, told The World View that he used to see children with Down syndrome more when he was younger.
Back when I was younger, I met way more of them. And if you look at the generation that's around 30 right now, then you have way more of persons with Down syndrome. But now you have about, I think, 2 a year that are born. There's very few young children that you see with it. There's one in the preschool that our daughter and our son is going to. But when I first saw him, it was very rare because I was trying to think of the last time I saw one. And I literally couldn't think of anything except when I was like 10. And there was another Down syndrome child in our church back then.
Pastor Gunnarsson said that the prenatal testing for Down syndrome has not helped preserve the lives of any of the children.
Of course, the prenatal testing has played a major role in it. Now you have nearly 100% of the children that come out in a positive light that they might have Down syndrome from the prenatal testing. Almost 100% of them are aborted if there's even a possibility of having Down.
Gunnarsson said that unfortunately, abortion is not talked about as a negative thing in Iceland.
When it comes to abortion here in Iceland, it's not really talked about the ethical side of things. In the numbers of 2015, I think there were 4,200 and something babies born and then 951 abortions. I mean, we're getting a good 20% in abortions of all conceived children per year. I think in a small community like this, and when you know, like, we're 340,000 people, and you know when you have this abortion happening on this scale, there's definitely going to be people you know who have had one, and so the culture in general doesn't talk critically about it or even just think, is it ethical? It's sort of presupposed.
Gunnarsson said they even changed the Icelandic word for describing abortion from, quote, fetus termination, unquote, to a term that depersonalizes the life of the baby, meaning, quote, pregnancy cancellation, unquote. He said that because people do not see anything wrong with killing babies, they think it's fine to abort a baby for abnormalities.
Everyone in the community just presupposes that there's nothing wrong with it. Then if you see abnormalities, you just take an easier path.
The World View asked Gunnarsson if the church in Iceland has said anything against abortion.
Well, the state church has actually got employees in the hospital that sort of come and they pray with you as you have an abortion. And the state church, when it comes to being careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I'm not worried about that too much with the state church at all. There are very few, there's sort of a remnant of free churches, but most of them are tired and kind of want the victories, but don't want to battle for truth. A lot of them will say not a whole lot. They just want to avoid the spotlight and try to survive.
Pastor Gunnarsson shared that this has opened up a good dialogue within the body of Christ that he pastors.
I talked about it in my Sunday sermon as well. It was a perfect opportunity as we were talking about love. We're going through the fruit of the Spirit, and our topic for that Sunday was love and what does it mean to love. So I talked a little bit about that.
Gunnarsson said that the foundational problem is how far Iceland has departed from its Christian roots.
I think we're ranked right now as the sixth most atheistic nation in the world. It's very humanistic. And when it comes to the question of wherein does the worth of a human life lie, of course, for the Christian, you could say the Imago Dei, we're created in the image of God, and because of the fact that we're human, that makes us worth something. But what happens to a whole culture when you forfeit your appeal to a higher authority than yourself? Well, you have a really relativistic kind of culture that doesn't want to think too deeply about things. It's kind of ironic that right now believers in the Bible, they're kind of mocked for being anti-science, but when it comes to the abortion talks, no one wants to talk about the science of what's going on inside the womb. Is that an individual, scientifically speaking? I don't think you can make a case that it's not. I think it's definitely had an impact when you have humanistic morals, which is basically trying to keep Christian morals and carve God out of it, but you don't have the appeal to God in situations like this, and it's just hollow.
Gunnarsson said that he was encouraged by the response of their congregation to the Down syndrome story.
I am encouraged when I look at our congregation. I honestly didn't see a whole lot of people posting about this from other churches here in Reykjavik. We don't have a whole lot of healthy churches to begin with. The number that I and other talking with other pastors have gotten is like 5 healthy churches, and we didn't see a whole lot of chatter about this. But what I've loved to hear from our people is the questions that come, how do we deal with this? What are we going to do about this? And that's what I love, especially in a time where a lot of the remnant of God's people are really tired. They're not hoping to survive and that type of stuff, but really asking, okay, what can we do about this? And getting a heart for adoption as well and foster care and that type of stuff. Even thinking about sacrificially moving out of the city, even if they want to stay in the city so they can buy a bigger house so one day they can adopt and that sort of stuff. So that's been pretty awesome to see from our people.
Pastor Gunnarsson said that it's a different situation from the United States in that the abortions are happening right in the hospitals, not in places dedicated specifically to abortion. He went on to describe how their Icelandic friends have responded to their decision to choose life and to raise 2 children with special needs.
We have 2 children now with special needs. Our oldest, who's dealing with cancer right now, but he's also very autistic. He's high on the spectrum of autism. And then we got a younger one with a very rare genetic mutation. His name is Solomon, and he's just 4 months right now, and I think 2 other people in the world have it, so we don't really know yet what we're dealing with or what it will look like in the future. But it's been an odd and ironic experience for the last 4 months to hear so many Icelanders cheering us on as our baby is born and he has these battles. But at the same time, you know that if there was a prenatal testing for what he has, or if there was a prenatal testing for autism, what would they do? Would they opt out of not letting him be born, not letting him feel his mother's touch for the first time or cry for the first time because of this illness or special need?
He wonders how many of those who have supported their decision to raise 2 children with special needs would have kept their own babies if they knew they had special needs.
And you just got to wonder how many of the ones cheering us on right now would actually, if there was a prenatal test that could show you this before he was born, go for that route. And that saddens me to think about.
Gunnarsson passionately reiterated that in a humanistic society, a person's worth is defined by what they can do or what they can achieve, and that takes away the value of these little children.
Does your worth lie in how well you fit in with the machine that is society, how much you can produce or achieve? Because in the end, that's what you have to appeal to. If you're just looking at a naturalistic way of thinking about people, it saddens me when you see the worth of every single individual and people not noticing that.
Gunnarsson shared that one of the amazing things about taking care of these babies is learning the practical demonstration of unconditional love.
So one of the amazing things when you have a baby and you hold your newborn baby for the first time, and it's like, this one can practically do nothing for you. It will keep you awake. You'll have to change its diapers. You'll have to spend a lot of money to take care of its room, to have food, but you love it. You love this little baby, and it's just one of these purest form of love, because you know I'm not trying to manipulate anyone right now. There's nothing that this little person can do for me.
He said that having special needs children takes that lesson of unconditional love and really makes it come alive.
you think about having a special needs child, and that actually may perpetuate to years to come. Like, that may be your opportunity to love sacrificially and to make sure that you're doing it out of the right motive, and to experience loving someone just for the sake of loving someone, and looking to the cross of Christ if you're ever feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, and just keep on loving and serving someone.
Gunnarsson said that although many see it as a curse, he believes it's a gift from God to learn how to love. He also revealed that Romans 8:28 has taken on deeper meaning for them with the gift of two special needs children.
When you face hard circumstances, you hear Romans 8:28 ringing in your mind that all things will work together for the good, and you just kind of wonder sometimes when it's really dark around you, okay, what is it, God, that you're doing in these circumstances? So we've heard so many messages from believers and non-believers alike who have really talked and started to consider their faith more deeply because of these circumstances. So who knows, maybe that's the reason.
If you'd like to stay in touch with Pastor Gunnarsson's family and the Lustafend Baptist Church in Iceland, you can visit their website at theicelandproject.org or follow their family's public posts at Gunnarsson's Facebook page. You'll learn about their little ones, including one who has autism, and their baby Salomon, who has a rare defect, on his Instagram page. You'll find the Facebook and Instagram links in our transcript at theworldview.com. The scriptures are filled with evidence of God's love for the babies in the womb. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 declares, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." This has been a special report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.